So we are holding on Chaf Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Still talking about the topic of Pasei Berais. The Mishnah says, Echad, which we've discussed this point in the Mishnah before, Echad bar harabim of er harabim of er hayachid, whether we're talking about a water pit, which is used for storing water, rather than one that contains fresh water from a spring. So whether you have such a bur, and it belongs to the rabbim, to the public, where there it's true that because it's only a pit of water, it may dry up, the water supply may run out, but because they're rabbim, people will remind each other, don't carry inside the pasim anymore because the water dried up. So therefore, that's okay. Or be'er rabbim, or if it's a well, meaning of fresh water that belongs to the rabbim, or be'er yochid, or even a well that belongs to an individual person. So there you don't have the rabbim, but a be'er, because it's fed by springs underground or whatever, some kind of water channel that channels into it. Therefore it's not going to dry up. So in all those cases, oisin lahen pasin. So in that case, the Mishnah is saying, this is going to be what we're going to say in a second, Rabbi Akiva is saying that you're allowed to make pasim in any of those three cases. Aval bur hayochid, but when it's a pit and it belongs to an individual, so there it's got two strikes against it. Morning, Aaron. It may dry up. It's got two strikes against it. Number one, it may dry up, and number two, there's no rabbim to remind each other. So then the Mishnah says, Oisimai mechitza gavaya yudfachim divi Rabbi Akiva. So then Rabbi Akiva says you are going to have to make it a proper mechitza. This whole concept of pasim that you only have in the, of dyumdin, whatever we want to call them, that are only in the corners and maybe in the middles and whatever, and you have these gaps of 10 amos or 13 amos and whatever, Rabbi Akiva says that won't work if it's a pit and it belongs to a yachid. Because then again, you have two strikes against it that it could dry up and that there's nobody to remind him that it dried up and not to carry over there. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, I remember Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says no, exactly the opposite. Ein oisin pasin el be'er harabim milvad. For the only thing you can make pasim for like this is for a well that belongs to the rabbim. In other words, it has to have two things in its favor. It's a well, so it's not going to dry up, at least not under normal circumstances. And it belongs to the rabbim, so even if it does dry up, they'll remind each other to stop carrying in that area. Ulishar, for all the other three cases, so a pit that belongs to the rabbim, or a pit or a well that belongs to a yachid, with all of those, oisin chagora gavoya asarat tvachim. For all of those, you have to make a chagora at least 10 tvachim tall. Now, chagora literally means a belt. Rashi says over here that it means that you can make an enclosure of ropes. We learned at the end of the previous perek how, we learned at the end of the previous parak how in a shayara, a caravan that's traveling and a stop for Shabbos, how they're able to make themselves a mechitza made out of ropes, one higher than the other, where you have less than three tefachim between each rope, and the ropes, the width of the ropes themselves adds up to more than a tefach, so you've got 10 tefachim. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava would say, fine, you can do that over here, but it has to be something like that that counts as a mechitza. Tosfos just says more generically that chagora means mechitza, and the Ritva and a number of other Rishonim say that the point of that is that he wants to say that it has to surround the well on all four sides, in other words, like a belt which surrounds you all around your waist. This kind of thing also, there's no heter, he says, for pasei berois that only go around the corners. Rather, you have to actually have that it goes solidly around the whole thing, well, except for an area to enter, of course. Okay, top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Halacha could Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, so therefore you can only make Pasei Berois only if it's a well of fresh water, and only if it belongs to the rabbin. And of course, we said the other day anyway that it only works for Oile Regel and other people who are going to do mitzvahs. And we said it can only be in Eretz Yisrael. So practically speaking, we don't have the whole concept of Pasei Berois now. But even if we did, it would be only according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that it's only allowed if it's a well that belongs to the rabbin. Also, now, so we just had Rabbi Yosef saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Now, we have another statement also from the same Amidoyim that says that Pasei Berois only work for Be'er Mayim Chayim, for a well of living water. Now, we are going to ask, so isn't that repetitious? Doesn't that amount to saying the same thing? But what do we mean by mayim chayim? So one possibility, of course, is it just means, as it usually does, it means a spring that flows out from underground. And the point is, in other words, because you can have wells where the water is relatively fresh, where, for example, it comes, I've seen, for example, in an archaeological dig in Eretz Yisrael, they had a well in a village over there, where the well was fed by runoff from the local roofs. They had a system of pipes and drainage things and whatever attached to the local roofs, and the water from that would run into the local well. So Be'er Mayim Chayim would be as opposed to that. In other words, it has to actually well from underground. The Ritva and some other Rishonim say that also it means the water itself has to be fit for people to drink. We learned about the other day in the Gemara that the water can't just be the kind of water that only animals would drink. It has to be fresh enough that people would drink it as well. And that's also included in this expression of Mayim Chayim. Okay, so the question is why Shmuel needs to repeat himself. So the Gemara says, "Utsricha." We need both of these statements of Shmuel's. The Iyashmin and Halacha could be Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. If we said the Halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava, you wouldn't realize that it means completely. In other words, that it only works for Be'er of Rabbim. Have Amina de Rabbim v'Afilu Mechunasin. You would think maybe Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava means that it's allowed even that, hello, maybe it means that it, that maybe it would mean that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava would say it's allowed any time it belongs to the Rabbim, va'afilu mechunasin, so it would be even if it's stagnant water, even if it's water that's just collected there in the pit and is not mayim chayim, v'hai dekotoni be'er harabim la'pukim midrabba kiva. So you would say, what does he mean when he says be'er harabim in our Mishnah? Maybe he doesn't mean to exclude the case of a bur of Rabbim. Maybe he's using the word be'er in a broader sense. Sometimes you have the word be'er sometimes actually means something more. In Tanakh, for example, you have some places where be'er can mean, so it doesn't necessarily mean a well of water that's springing forth from the earth. We talked about the other day, for example, the names of Gehenna. One of them is Be'er Shachas, the pit of destruction. We don't mean that water is, that's not the kind of pit where water is constantly flowing in. And we still see the word Be'er is used for it. So we might have thought that when he says Be'er Rabbim, all he means is La'apukim mid Rabbi Akiva. He just means, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who says that there are certain kinds of water things that belong to a yochid that you're allowed to put up pasim on, you wouldn't know that he means davka, one of fresh water. Therefore, Shmuel has to tell us the second statement, that it only works for be'er mayim chayim, if literally it's fresh water springing up from the ground. The Iyashmin and Be'er Mayim Chaim. On the other hand, if Shmuel only told us the second statement, that it only works for Be'er Mayim Chaim, have Amin a loshon of the Rabbim, a loshon of the Yochid, then you would think maybe he's saying it works whether it belongs to a Rabbim or a Yochid. In other words, halfway between Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. Kamash Mulan, Alochak, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Therefore, he has to tell us the first statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So in other words, the first statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava clarifies for us that it only works for things that belong to a rabbin. And the second statement, Be'er Mayim Chaim, clarifies that it also, within that, it only works for Be'er Mayim Chaim. So that's the maskana, therefore. So it does mean what we thought it meant in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying in only one out of the four cases can you put up passim, namely it has to be a Be'er of Mayim Chaim, and it has to belong to the Rabbim. And that's what Shmuel is telling us with his two statements, that you should understand Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that way, and that, in fact, is halacha. All the other cases, you can't use passim, you have to use proper mechitzas. If it belongs to a yochid, any kind that belongs, so in short, any kind that belongs to a yochid needs a mechitza, as well as, even if it belongs to the rabbim, you can only use passim only if it's a well, not if it's a burn, not if it's a pit, where stagnant water is stored. Because it might run out, exactly. So that's the point, in other words. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying you need both. You need something that is not likely to run out, and where the Rabbim are going to remind each other in case it does. Right. No, so a well, what we're saying over here by a well, we're saying Be'er Mayim Chaim means a well that's fed by a spring. In other words, as opposed to, I was saying just before you walked in, that, for example, there were wells in those days that were fed by runoff from roofs, for example. That, bepashtus, that wouldn't be included in this Be'er Mayim Chaim over here. So that would be the same thing. Then an artesian well, for example, yeah, but Pashtus, that would be Be'er Mayim Chaim. It's water that's coming forth from the ground. Who cares whether it comes out as a spring naturally or whether you drilled far enough to tap the groundwater? Yeah, either way. Okay. So now we're done with the matter of Pasei Berois. Now from here until the end of the Perek, the next four blot, we're going to be dealing more generally with this whole matter of areas that are enclosed that are not L'shem Dira, and what the rules are as far as carrying in there. So we mentioned at the beginning of the Perek that you have certain kinds of enclosures which are called hukaf ledira. They were enclosed for the purpose of living space, where we said we have a machlokas rishonim what exactly it means living space, but Rashi at least understands, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that as long as people regularly go in there, and that means not just by day, Tosfos over here stresses that it means they have to be going in by day and by night as well, then it's considered a hukaf ledira. So then you can carry in it even if it's larger than Beis Sasayim. Beis Sasayim, we said, is 5,000 square amas, so 100 by 50 amas, which is the size of the chatzar of the Mishkan. But if it's not hukaf ledira, then you're limited to Beis Sasayim. So now we're going to be dealing with the details of those dinim. So we're talking about it's closed with proper mechitzis. Even if it's closed with proper mechitzis, but it's not hukaf ledira. It wasn't enclosed for the purpose of living space. And we're going to be dealing with also the question, we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, Bez Hashem, for example, the issue of what came first. You enclosed the area and then you decided to use it for a certain purpose, or you decided to designate a certain area for a purpose and then you enclosed it. We're going to deal with all those kinds of things are going to come up in the Gemara, how you turn it from one into the other. There's going to be a whole bunch of dinim that are going to take up the next three or four blocks about this till the end of the parak. So the Mishnah says, "Oid Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava." Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava further said something like this: "Hagina v'hakarpif, a garden or a karpif. So a karpif, we said before, is an enclosure that you use to store wood. So it's not necessarily so he says like this. So it is something you regularly go into, because you regularly go into it to get wood, but so Shahein Shivim Amavashirayim Al Ayin Amavashirayim. It's 70 and a fraction by 70 and a fraction amos. We're gonna see soon what the fraction is. And it's surrounded by a fence which is at least 10 tefachim tall. So far, so good, it sounds like. You should be able to carry in there, no problem. But he says, you are allowed to carry in on Shabbos, but provided that, you have to have in there a watchman's hut, meaning, in other words, he's saying that even if hukaf ledira, as in this case, you have a watchman's hut in there, which is used by day and by night, nevertheless, you can't carry in an area more than Beis Sasayim, he says. So even if it has, so as long as it has a shemera, or Beis Dira, or an actual house that you live in, or it's close to the city, so therefore you use it very often, so even though it doesn't have a watchman's hut or a house in it, that's good enough. How close is close, by the way? Rishonim talk about, Yohanesson over here talks about, and others, doesn't mean, one possibility is it means within a Tchum Shabbos of the city, so you can walk there on Shabbos. The other possibility is it means within 70 amas, the same 70 amas, and change, which we're going to learn later on the fifth parak, that when it comes to measuring the tchum of the city, that you consider something within 70 and two-thirds amas of the city to be as if it was an extension of the city, and therefore the city boundaries are further out, and that's relevant as far as tchum Shabbos. So over here, samuch could be either one of those. Anyway, so in short, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying, according to Rashi, that you have to have, that even if it has one of these things in it, it still can't be bigger than Beis Sasayim. Tosfos over here discusses some possibilities about that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava himself would agree that there are cases where you are allowed to carry in it even if it's larger than Beis Sasayim. You have a concept called Posach Olavasoif Hukaf. You have something called where you opened an entrance from your house into that area, and in other words, you designated it for that purpose, and later on you put a fence around it. So then he might agree that if you have a shemira or Beis Dira in there or whatever, then you can carry in it even if it's larger than Beis Sasayim. Only when it's just a karpif, only when it doesn't have those things, then he would say that you're limited to Beis Sasayim. So a karpif is an area, it's meant for storing wood. In other words, it's not like, for example, a chotzer where you're going in and out of your house with it all the time. That, again, Tosfos, as I said, has a long discussion about the pros and cons of this, but one possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava then would distinguish between a karpif that has a dwelling in it versus one that does not. He would say, if it has a dwelling in it, and it also has to the good that posach l'vasoif hukach, that first you open, that first you set up the dwelling, or you have an entrance to it from your house, and later on you fenced it in, then fine, you'd be allowed to carry in it no matter what the size. But if it doesn't have one, if it doesn't have any of these factors in it, it doesn't have the shemira, it doesn't have the base dira, it's not close to the city, then you limit it to 2,000. Or even if it has the house or et cetera in it, but you first enclosed it and then you opened the door to your house from between it, then you opened up, you made a doorway in the fence between that and your house, then you'd still be limited to base lasayim. That's one way of understanding Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, afilo ein ba'ela bor v'shiach o'mayra metalpulin b'saycha. Rabbi Yehuda, regular Rabbi Yehuda in Shas, by the way, is Rabbi Yehuda ber v'loi. So he's the next generation after Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was one of the chaverim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda plain is Rabbi Yehuda ber v'loi, who was one of the talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yehuda says, afilo ein ba'ela bor v'shiach o'mayra metalpulin b'saycha. No, you don't even need a shemira or a house or whatever in there. Even if all you have in this enclosure is a pit of water, which is round, or shiach, which is square or rectangular, or ma'ara. Usually in Shas, a ma'ara, together with bur and shiach, means a water pit that's roofed over. So like you have, it's like a cave. You have to enter into it from the side. Here, Rabbeinu Yohanan says a different possibility. The ma'ara over here doesn't contain water at all. It's a place where you go to get some shade. You sit in there to get some shade. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, metalpulin b'saycha, even that would be a good enough reason to carry in there. That would still be considered hukaf l'dira, the fact that it has a water pit in there, and therefore you regularly go to get water from there, or it has a cave, which again, either you're also going into the cave to get water, or you're going into the cave for shade, so that would also work. Rabbi Akiva says, even if it doesn't have any of these things, you can carry in it. As long as it's no larger than 70 and a fraction by 70 and a fraction. Now, why is Rabbi Akiva repeating that point when the Tanakhama already said that? We're going to deal with that in the Gemara. There is a gusa that a number of Rishonim have, not When we say over here, Rabbi Akiva says, even if there's not achas mikol elu, there is a different girsa that some Rishonim have, where Rabbi Akiva says it has to have achas mikol elu. Afilo ein ba ela achas mikol elu. Even if there's only one of these things, then it's enough, but you at least have to have the one thing, according to them. According to him, it can't just be completely empty. Right. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, if the length of the place is even one amma more than the width, then you're not allowed to carry in it. On the face of it, it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer is saying it has to be exactly square. Otherwise, even if it's less than 5,000 square ammas, you can't carry in there. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what Rabbi Eliezer means, and we'll see that he's actually talking about a space that is the dimensions of the chotzer of the Mishkan. By the way, worth mentioning over here, Tosfos asks the question like this. Now, the whole point is we're saying we're learning from the chotzer of the Mishkan. The chotzer was 100 by 50, and therefore we're learning from that. Therefore, when the Rabbanan set up this concept of a karpif, the idea is they decided that when you have an area larger than a certain size, it's too easily confused with the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore we treat it like a karmelis, and therefore you can carry it in only 4 amas. So they used, as that, they used the size of the chotzer of the Mishkan. So you were asking yesterday, by the way, about how does that compare to any building that we're familiar with, for example. If you think of, let's say, for example, so this shul over here is only about 70 feet long. That's not long enough. That's not long enough to be any side of a... So not even, because 70 feet is not 70 amas. No. If you were to take the front of the three buildings of 770, 788, 784, and 770 proper, you have approximately 70 amas over there, a little bit more maybe, whatever. So you take that, and square it, then you've got base lasayim. 70 amas is about 110 feet, give or take. No, inside 770 is much shorter than that. Maybe roughly speaking, inside 770 is approximately that, maybe a little over 100 feet, I don't know. Whatever, you take that and you square it, you take that and you draw a square with that length and that width and you have base sign. Anyway, Tosfos asked the question, I mean, we have larger enclosures in the Beit HaMikdash. You have the Ezra, you have the Harabayis was 500 by 500 amos, the Ezra Sisro was 187 by 135. When the Chachamim are trying to decide on this concept of a Kairif, why did they use the Chotzer of the Mishkan rather than the larger Chotzer of the Beit HaMikdash? Tosfos answers, first of all, one possibility is, as usual, we learn things of Hilchos Shabbos from the Mishkan. But another possibility, Tosfos says, is because when it came to the Beit HaMikdash, there was a mitzvah to guard the Beit HaMikdash. The Kohanim and Levim stand guard by day and by night. So therefore, it is considered Hukaf Ladira because there's someone always there. As opposed to the Chatzar of the Mishkan, apparently, Tosfos is learning that nobody was ever there at night. So the point is, in other words, so what is considered a kairpa for our purposes, where we have this difference more or less than base sasayim, the key difference is going to be, is it used by night as well? If it's used by night, then it's considered hukaf ladira. If not, then not. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says, even if the length is double the width, then you're allowed to carry in it. In other words, so Rabbi Yossi, it seems clear enough. Rabbi Yossi means, in other words, that even when it's, that if it's exactly based on Sasayim, the maximum you can carry in is if it's a rectangle 50 by 100. But if, let's say, for example, it was a longer and skinnier rectangle, let's say it was 110 by whatever it would come out mathematically then, 44 or something, then he would agree that you can't carry in it. And Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to explain in the Gemara what Rabbi Eliezer means exactly. Okay. Amar Rabbi Loi continues the mission. Rabbi Loi says, Shamaiti mir Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Eliezer, really it's supposed to be. Rabbi Loi says, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer. We just said that Rabbi Eliezer had said that if the length is more than the width, and we'll see in the Gemara again exactly what that means, then you can't carry in it. But Rabbi Loi is saying, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to carry in this area, Vafiluhi Kibes Kur, even if it's the size of a base kur, which is much larger than base sasayim, because there are 30 sa in a kur. Base sasayim means, by the way, the reason why we call this area base sasayim, it's an area which is large enough to plant 2 sa of barley. You plant barley in a certain, you plant, you know, a farmer knows how much barley to plant in an area. So a typical area, you plant a saw of barley takes up an area of 2,500 square amos. So 2 saw takes 5,000 square amos. So here, a kur would be 15 times that. And Rabbi Loi is saying that I heard from Rabbi Eliezer that you're allowed to carry in an enclosed area even if it's the size of a base kur. And while he's mentioning this, he mentions two other dinim that he also heard from Rabbi Eliezer. I also heard from Rabbi Eliezer another din, which we're going to take up in more detail in the sixth parak of Or Masechta, which is like this. Now you have, there's the concept of Eruv Chatzeres. We know that without an Eruv Chatzeres, you're not allowed to carry in a Chatzer, Midrabanan. We said the other day, Shloimeh HaMelech made this takana, and the reason for it is because if people are allowed to carry in a common Chatzer, people are likely to forget and think by the same token you're allowed to carry in a Rosh Hashanah. So therefore we made, I forgot to mention, by the way, when we learned this the other day about how Shlomo made these takanas, there's an interesting vort that Rabbi Hai Goin brings. So why was it first Shlomo made these takanas? I mean, if you had that problem, wouldn't you have had that problem any time in the 500 years before him? He says, because up until that time, the Jewish people were, generally speaking, were very often at war. And we learned at the end of the first parak that when people are at war, they're potter from Eruv Chatzeres. So up until Shlomo's times, there wasn't enough peace to need an Eruv Chatzeres. So Shlomo was the first one who made that takana. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is that, again, the takana was that we consider the chaser in a certain sense as if it was like Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we have to make an Eruv Chatzeres. We gather food from each person and put it all in one house, and that's a hecker that way people remember that there's a difference between a chaser and Rosh Hashanah. Now, what happens, you know, if one person in that chotzer does not participate in the Eruv Chatzeres? So nowadays, it wouldn't be that much of an issue. We take a box of matzah, which lasts for a whole year, and we set it aside before, and we're mezakeh it to everybody, and there's no issue. In the olden days, they didn't have food that would last quite that long. They would actually collect food for the Eruv every week from people. So what happens if one person doesn't contribute, forgets, or whatever? So the dinyans we're going to discuss in the sixth parak, you have a concept called bitul reshus. He can be mevatel his reshus to the other people, and now it's considered in a certain sense as if he's like a guest there. And a guest doesn't ask to. Just like when you have, if you have guests staying in your house for Shabbos, you don't have to include them in your Erev Chatzeres. The fact that they're eating by you is considered like, so therefore they count as one of the people of your household. So the same way over here is Mevatar Rishus. So now what happens? So v'oid shamaiti mimenu. So now v'chein shamaiti mimenu. So now Rabbi Loi says, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, an shechotzer sheshochach echad mehen v'le'irav. If the people in the chotzer, one of them forgot and did not join in the erev chatzeres, beisoy osur melahotziu melahachnis melahotzi loy. So his own house, he's not allowed to carry anything in and out of it to and from it from the chotzer. Avol, but here's the key. That part everybody agrees to. Here's the part where Rabbi Eliezer says, Avalahem mutter. They would be allowed to carry things in and out of his house. Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim say that his house is off limits to everybody. Right. So we'll learn later on. We'll learn later on Daf Chavdalad, Chavav, actually, I think the Gemara is going to take up. Why do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer on this? But yeah, so Rabbi Eliezer holds that the other neighbors will be able to carry things out in and out of his house, just he won't be able to, because that's what Bitzel Rishus means. Okay. V'chein shamaiti mimenu. Then Rabbi Loi says, I heard a third thing from a third din from Rabbi Eliezer. She yotzen ba'ar kavlin b'pesach. That you can be yotze on Pesach, the mitzvah of Morer, by eating our kavlin, which is kind of planned. So, but the other, all these three things, the other chachamim disagree with. So Rabbi Loi says, I went around among all of Rabbi Eliezer's talmidim. I was looking for a colleague who would say that he also heard these dinim from Rabbi Eliezer, and I couldn't find one. Now, Tosfos points out, it doesn't mean that nobody else held of these dinim. In fact, you have a Gemara in Psachim where it discusses in connection with Morer, in connection with the third thing, that he says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, eventually he met up with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agreed that Akavlim are good for Morer. But what he means is, in other words, among, so he says, the Tosfos says, either Rabbi Loi means among Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim, I couldn't find anybody who hold that way, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov wasn't one of Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim, or it means that he was looking for somebody who had actually heard this directly from Rabbi Eliezer, and he couldn't find anybody else. Okay. The Chachamim, meanwhile, disagree on all these three things. When it comes to the Karpif and whatnot, you can't carry if it's more than Beis Sasayim. By the Chotzer, they hold that nobody can carry out from and in and out of this guy's house either, the one who was Mevatel Rishus. And as far as our Kavlim, they say it doesn't count as Morer. Okay. So the Gemara is going to start off with a linguistic point in the Mishnah. My Tana de Katani Ve'oid. What did we learn before of what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying that now we should start saying Ve'oid? Meaning Ve'oid doesn't just mean Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have, of course, in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said something, and now he's saying something else. But that's not enough of a reason to say Ve'oid. Ve'oid implies that, in other words, what he's saying is he said a certain chumrah, and now he's saying a certain related chumrah. But what does it have to do? The previous Mishnah that talked about where you can make pasim and where you can't, and our Mishnah which talks about a garden and a karpa from the whole concept of the Beis Hasayim, what does one have to do with the other? Are you going to say, just it doesn't necessarily have to be that the two things have to do with each other? He said a chumrah in the previous Mishnah that only a well of rabbim can you make pasim for. And now he's saying another chumrah that a ginner or a karpif need to have a house or whatever in them and can't be larger than Beis Sasayim. You're going to say Mishum Hachik Tani Va'oid. That's why you're using the word Va'oid. The problem with that is Vahor Rabbi Yehuda. What about you have Rabbi Yehuda? Again, that means Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, the regular Rabbi Yehuda in Shas. The Tonele Chod L'Chumra. He taught something which was a Chumra in the first Mishnah of our Perek. So you have in the first Mishnah when we started talking about the Pasim, we said that. We said that Rabbi Yehuda allowed the area in the Pasim to be only up to Beis Sasayim. So we discussed yesterday, does that mean that the well itself can't be larger than Beis Sasayim? Does it mean the area inside the Pasim, including the two Amas on each side, can't be larger than Beis Sasayim? Whatever, Rabbi Yehuda is machmer like that. Then we had another statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the next Mishnah, which was also a Chumrah, where he said that if the Rishus HaRabim crosses through the entire pasim, then you have to reroute the Rishus Rabim because also Rabim of Atim Chitzasa. So there you have two chumras of Rabbi Yehuda. And it doesn't say V'oid over there. So just because a Tana said a chumra and then said another chumra is not a reason to say V'oid. The answer is Hosam Afskur Rabbanan, Hochaloy Afskur Rabbanan. Because the difference is, when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim interrupted between his two statements. He said about the Pasim that it can't be more than Beis Sasayim, and the Chachamim answered him back and said that no, Beis Sasayim is only when it comes to an area that's not Hukaf Ladira, like a garden or a carpet or what have you, but in this case, they go on to say, but in the case of, for example, a pen for animals, a deer, a sahar, a mukta, an area that's meant for storing wood or drying fruit or whatever that you can carry in it, no matter how large it is, because it's hukaf ladira. So the chum interrupted, whereas over here we don't have an interruption between the two things that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says. Here the chachamim are not breaking in between Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's statement, so therefore we can say void. The problem with that is, so are you telling me that that's a general rule in Mishnayos? Whenever you have two statements of a Tana that are one after the other, even if one has nothing directly to do with the other, we're still going to say va'oid as long as there was no interruption in between. We have a Mishnah in Sukkah with Rabbi Eliezer, like this. Rashi quotes the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah starts by saying there that Rabbi Eliezer says a person has to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah during Sukkot. Every day, a person is obligated to eat two meals containing bread in the Sukkah. Otherwise, he's not completely yoy to the mitzvah. The Chacham say, Ein Madava Kitzvah, there's no fixed thing. You have to eat in the Sukkah the first night of Sukkot, but the rest of Sukkot, if you want to just eat fruit or whatever, and Me'ikra Adin, you're allowed to eat that outside the Sukkah, then you're allowed to. Then the Mishnah continues, V'oid Omer Rabbi Eliezer. Then Rabbi Eliezer furthermore says, if a person missed eating in the Sukkah the first night of Sukkot, then he can make it up by eating in the Sukkah the night of Shmini Atzeres. This is talking about Yisrael, where they don't normally sit in the Sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, but he says you can make it up like that. And the Chum say, Ein L'dover Tashlomin, because if you missed it, you missed it. The point is that there you also have, Rabbi Eliezer is saying two statements, but the Chachamim interrupt in between. As soon as he says 14 meals, they say nothing doing. There's only one meal you have to eat in the Sukkah. And it still says void. So we see just because the Chachamim interrupt is not a reason to not say void. So we're back to the question then. By Rabbi Yehuda, we didn't say void because his two statements about not larger than Beis Sasayim and about Derech HaRabim have nothing to do with each other. So there's no reason to say void. But over here, then, we're back to the question. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's statements don't seem to have anything to do with each other either. One is about that you can only make pasim for Be'er HaRabim. The other is about the rules for a Karpif. What does one have to do with the other? So why are we saying void? The answer is Hasam Milse Hudaf Sakura, because the difference is there the Chachamim are interrupting exactly about what Rabbi Eliezer said. Rabbi Eliezer talked about the number of Sudas, and the Chachamim answer him with one line that says that no, there's no fixed number of Sudas. They don't go onto other tangents, onto other topics. Over here, when it comes to the end of the first Mishnah of our Perek, the Chachamim interrupted Rabbi Yehuda not just by saying that you can be more than Beis Sasayim. They went on with a long statement over there. They went on over there in the Mishnah by saying that Omru loy Omru Beis Sasayim Ela Lagina L'Kaibif. But if it was a deer or a sow or a mukta or a chatzar, then it can be even 5 or 10 kurim. So it was a long thing that we're not all of what they're saying is that directly connected to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. In other words, if they had just said, no, you can have the enclosure can be as large as you want, then yes, it would have said V'oid about Rabbi Yehuda as well. Over here, we don't have, so by Rabbi Eliezer. So in other words, you have three possibilities. There's no interruption at all. Then we can say void. There is a slight interruption, which is just me'ain, the original thing that the Tana said. Then we can also say void. Or there's a larger interruption where it's not completely me'ain what he said, because you're adding more details about the animal enclosures and this and that, and then you don't say void. So that explains it. Okay. So that's it. Yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Oymar Afila Ein Ba Echad Mikol Eilam Metalflin B'Soicha, that Rabbi Akiva had said that even if there's nothing of these things in the carpet, any of these three things, so not a shemera, a watchman's hut, not a house, not a burr or shiach or myra, you're still allowed to carry in it, Metalflin B'Soicha. Again, we have the girsa of Rishonim that there has to be Echad Mikol Eilam, there has to be one of them, but not more than them. So the question is, Rabbi Akiva Hainu Tanakama, isn't Rabbi Akiva saying the same thing as the Tanakhama, meaning the Tanoim, meaning the Chachamim in the first Mishnah? Again, when Rabbi Yehuda had said that the area of the Pasim is limited to Beis Tassayim, and the Chacham told them no, that as long as it's Hukaf Ladira, it can be larger than that. So therefore, and they mentioned that Beis Tassayim only applies to a garden or a karpif. So Rabbi Akiva is then saying exactly the same thing. So why does he have to add that as long as it's not more than 70 and a fraction? In effect, he's saying the same thing. 70 and a fraction on each side comes out to base the same. Tosfos brings a different explanation from Rabbeinu Hanano that Tanakama over here means Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Now there is an actual machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying you need to have a shemero based dira, or it has to be close to the city. Rabbi Akiva is saying it doesn't. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava does mention the point about it being more than, about it not being more. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava mentions about the sides being 70 and a fraction by 70 and a fraction. So according to that, fine. Rabbi Akiva is arguing about whether you need a shemero based dira in there or what have you. But why does he have to mention again the 70 and a fraction? If Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava already mentioned that. So the answer is, Ikka b'nai dover muat. The answer is that the machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim of the first Mishnah, or Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, would be about the slight amount that it's more than 70 and two-thirds. We calculate like this, in other words. We're going to see soon, the Gemara is soon going to give the calculation, and Rashi is going to give it in great detail. The problem is like this. 5,000, when we're trying to make 5,000 amas into a square, it means that we need, in effect, to put it in terms of modern mathematics, we need to take the square root of the number 5,000. The problem is the square root of 5,000 is an irrational number, meaning there's no exact fraction that will express it. No matter what fraction you use, it's never going to be 100% exact. The Rambam writes over here in Pirush HaMishnayos that you shouldn't think it's that we're ignorant and we don't know better. It's partially the nature of this kind of calculation. It's an irrational number. So what happens? So now we're going to give the calculation soon. You can get the largest simple fraction that you can get that gets you below 5,000 is 70 and two-thirds. 70 and two-thirds times 70 and two-thirds comes out to 4,993 and 7/9. So you're almost at 5,000. You got six square amas difference, as we're going to make the calculation soon. So Rabbi Akiva considers that that's the figure that we use. It's slightly less than Beis Tassayim. Doesn't matter. That's the figure we use for purposes of halacha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, or the Tanakhama in the first Mishnah, according to Rashi, meanwhile, is saying the fact is that still leaves you six square amas short. You should use a larger fraction. So therefore, for example, the Rambam writes that he would say you use the fraction 70 5/7, which is a little more than 70 2/3. In terms of decimals, 70 2/3 would be 70.66. 70 5/7 would be 70.71. Now, if you do the same calculation, square that, you get 5,000 square amas plus an extra half square amma. So we went over. So we went a tiny bit over. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, never mind that. When we say Shivam Amma v'Shirayim, 70 and two-thirds, that's the figure we use. It leaves us a little short. Doesn't matter. Whereas the Chachamim, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, I was saying we do have to consider that dava muat as well. The fact is, when you use 70 and two-thirds, you end up six square amas short of a full base tassayim. So to Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a dava muat yesh al shivim amas v'shiraim. There's a slight bit more than shivim amas v'shiraim. V'loinosnu chachamim v'shir, the chachamim did not give an exact shir for it, because again, given that it's an irrational number anyway, the chachamim didn't find it necessary to give it to us to so many decimal points. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, well, if the Chachamim didn't give it a shear for it, then we ignore that. We say 70 and two-thirds, which you have to remember also, think of it in terms of not fractions, but think of it also in terms of amas and tefachim. We're talking 70 is 70 amas. An amma is 6 tefachim. So 70 and two-thirds really means 70 tefachim and 4 amas. That's a nice round number of tefachim. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying that that's what we stick with. The real figure would be a little bit more than that, another etzba or whatever. Rabbi Akiva says we can ignore that. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is meant two-thirds of an amma is 4 tefachim. It's 4 tefachim. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that's what we consider. 70 amas and 4 tefachim by 70 amas and 4 tefachim. 6. 6.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So therefore, so it comes out a nice round number of tzvachim. Rabbi Akiva is saying we're not going to start getting into etzbois and fractions of etzbois, or less than an etzba, even as Rashi is going to go on to say. So we're not going to get into that level of thing. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva is, so therefore, when Rabbi Akiva repeats the point about shivim ma'am of a shiraim, al shivim ma'am of a shiraim, he wants to stress that according to him, you have to use that figure. You cannot use the larger fraction, let's say 70 and 5/7, because then you're going over. Then you're going over 5,000 square amas. Okay. The Kama Shir Sasayim, so what is the area of Beis Sasayim?
One is making it easier, and one is not going over.
Well, I suppose, yeah, I guess you have both factors involved, yeah. Okay, the Kama Shir Sasayim, so what is the area of Beis Sasayim? Kachatzara Mishkan is like the area of the Chotzer of the Mishkan, which was 100 Amos by 50 Amos, which equals 5,000. Okay, Menahani Mili, now where do we know this from? That we should do such a thing, that we should figure that the size of a karpif is not only based on the size of the mishkan, but that we square it off, that we figure out what the side of such a square would be, and use that for this purpose, and for other purposes in Hilchos Shabbos. Again, we're going to have in the fifth perek, we're going to use this figure of 70 amos and 4 tefachim in connection with this business of houses that are near each other as far as extending the city. So where do we see in the pasuk such a concept that we should do that? Now, obviously, it's only Asmachta, Tosfos says, but nevertheless, the Gemara still wants to see, so where is the Asmachta? Amar of Yehuda, the Amakra, Urach HaChotzer Mea Ba'ama, the Pasuk says the length of the Chotzer of the Mishkan is 100 Amos, the Reuchav Chamishim Ba'chamishim, the width is 50 by 50. Now, what do you mean 50 by 50? The width is, a width is one dimension. You can't say a width is something by something. No. Yeah. So what does that mean? It means Amra Torah Toil Chamishim Besabiv Chamishim. So the Torah is telling us take 50 amas from one end of the chotzer and use that to surround the other 50 amas. Meaning Rashi, in other words, draws out for us a word picture as follows. You're gonna have to come over here to see it. You take the chotzer of the Mishkan is 100 by 50. You take a block of 50. Now you take the other one, you cut it into 5 strips, each one 10 amos wide. 4 of those strips go around the 4 sides. The 5th one, 4 parts of it fill in the corners. Now you're up to 70 by 70 amos. So far you've accounted for 4,900 square amos. Now you take the last one, you cut it into smaller strips. You want this 5th one over here, that's in darker gray. You go around, you cut it into strips, each one 2 tefachim wide. And then you have enough. You have 10 by 10 amos is 100 square amos. Let's think of it in terms of tefachim. 10 by 10 amos is 60 by 60 tefachim. So you're able to cut it into strips. Each one 2 tefachim wide. So you have strips. So you have 300 pieces. You have 300 pieces, each one 2 tefachim wide. You use those to surround it again. So now you're up to 70 tefachim and 4 amos because you have 2 tefachim on this, 4 tefachim, I mean, 2 tefachim on this side, 2 tefachim on this side. So far, again, you've accounted for, so far you've got your 70 and 4 by 70 and 4. So like we said, that comes out to a little less than 4,994 square amos, a little under 5,000. Now you have a tiny bit. Okay, so there you go then. So now at this point, Rashi says, at this point, you have left a piece which is about 18 amas by 2 tefachim. Now, in principle, you could do the same thing again. You could cut it into narrower strips. But the problem is, if you do that, the strip is not even going to come out to be an etzba wide. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying, at that point, you ignore it. But that's the extra 6 square amos or so that we have left at that point. So we're still in the safe zone, but Rabbi Akiva says, therefore, that's the limit. We stop over there. Whereas Rabbi Huda ben Bava or the Chachamim are saying we actually go a little bit beyond that to get as close as possible to 5,000, maybe even go a tiny bit over it. Well, that's what we see. Rabbi Huda ben Bava in the Mishnah says that you have to have a house or a shack or whatever in there in order for it to be able to count it, because according to him, now it's a little bit over 5,000 at this point. So the Torah is implying that with the word chamishim v'chamishim, toil chamishim v'sabiv chamishim. Take 50 amas of the chotzer of the Mishkan and use it to surround the other 50 in order to arrive at a square. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara asks, So fine, that's a nice drosha. But Pashte de Krub Maiksiv, what is the simple meaning of the pasuk when it says Hamishim Bachamishim? Amar Abaya means like this, Hamid Mishkan al Sfas Hamishim. It means when you're placing the Mishkan, the main building of the Mishkan, which has the Arayin and the Shulchan and the Menorah in it, when you're placing it in the Chatzar, Hamid Mishkan al Sfas Hamishim, place the front edge of it exactly at the 50 Amma mark, Kadeshi Hei Hamishim Amma Lefanav. This way you have an open space of 50 Ammas in front of it. The only things that are in there are the Mizbeach and the Kiyar. The rest of it is, other than that, it's completely empty. The Esrim Amma, the whole Ruach Baruach, and the Mishkan is going to be centered in the other half where there's 20 Amos on each side of it. The Mishkan was 30 by 10 Amos. The inside of the Mishkan, that is, was 30 by 10 Amos. The inside of the Chatzar, we said, is 50 by 100. You're saying, leave out half the Chatzar. The Mishkan should not cover any part of that half of the Chatzar. Within the other half, therefore, you have a square 50 by 50. So if you place the Mishkan exactly at the edge of that square, the front edge of the Mishkan, exactly at the edge of that square, then you have, actually what you really have is 19 Amos on each side of it, because the Kerushim themselves are an Amma wide. But the point is, there's an even amount of space on each side of it between it and the walls of the Chatzar, and on the sides of the Chatzar. We want to make it centered. We want to make it centered within that square. Well, centered on three sides. Centered, in other words, on the north and the south and the west. There's going to be the same 20 amas on all sides, and then on the east, there's going to be 50 amas. Within that 50 amas will be the mizbeach and the kiyar. So that's the simple meaning when the pasuk says v'roich of hamishim b'chamishim. Once you set up the main building of the Mishkan, there should be a square 50 by 50 amos open in front of it. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer oimim hoisa or kahola, that Rabbi Eliezer had said if the length of the place is even one amma more than the width, then you can't carry in it on Shabbos. So the question is, V'hatanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimim, Hoysa, Orka, Yosef, Alpishnaim, Berochba, Afilo, Amma, Achas. Rabbi Eliezer says that if the length of it is more than twice the width of it, Afilo, Amma, Achas, even one Amma. In other words, 50 by 100, according to that, would be fine, because 100 is twice 50. But let's say, for example, 101 by 49 or whatever would not be good, according to him, or whatever the exact fraction would be to reach 5,000 square amas. So he would say, then ain metalfel in the circle, then you're not allowed to carry in it. So it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require it to be square. He just says the length can't be more than twice the width. The answer is, Amar Bibi Barabaya, Kitnan Nami Masis, and Yosef, Pishnaim Berochbatan. You're right. When our Mishnah also, in our Mishnah, that's the, Rabbi Eliezer uses the expression in our Mishnah, Imahoisa Orko Yosef al Rochba, but he doesn't literally mean that the length is more than the width, he means that the length is more than twice the width. Okay, the problem with that is Ihochi Hainu Rabbi Yosi. Doesn't that amount to the same thing as Rabbi Yosi is saying? Rabbi Yosi also said that if a length is more than twice the width, then it's no good. The answer is Ikavinayu Ribua Driv Uha Rabbanan. The nafkamina between them would be as far as the square that the Chachamim said. Now, what does that mean? In other words, Rashi explains like this: there's a lahatchila and a bidyevet over here. L'chatchila, if a person is coming to build such an area and he wants to be able to carry in it on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that l'chatchila will tell him, make it square. You want to make it 5,000 square amas, make it square. Make it 70 and 4 tfachim by 70 and 4 tfachim. If he doesn't end up doing that, or if he already bought it, already made, and it's 100 by 50, then Rabbi Eliezer will say, fine, you're still allowed to carry in there. Whereas Rabbi Yosi is saying there's no particular preference for a square over a rectangle. Whatever shape it is, as long as the length is not more than twice the width, then even l'chatchila, you're fine. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation of Rashi, because what do you mean l'chatchila b'dyeved? There's no such thing when a person is coming to build such a thing, you tell them to begin with how to build it in order to be able to carry in it on Shabbos. Either you're allowed to carry in there, or you're not allowed to carry in there. So Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, a number of other Rishonim explain this way like this. We're going to learn in the fifth parak, when we talk about Tchum Shabbos, that there's going to be, actually in the fourth parak, I think, that there's a machloikus. How do we know that a person has a Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 amas. Is that a circle of 2,000 amas, or do we then square it off? Do we say, there's a person standing over here, do we say we draw a circle 2,000 amas around him, and you can't carry outside that circle? Or do we say we measure 2,000 amas in each direction, but then we square that off, and therefore you have the corners? If you're walking in a diagonal, you're going to have extra space that you're able to walk on Shabbos. So that would be the nafkamina over here. Rabbi Eliezer would be saying that we go over here according to, that we look over here at round. So there's a couple of possible ways of explaining what Tosfos means. One way is that Rabbi Eliezer might be saying that if the area is 50 by 100, meaning that it's an oval, so it's an oval where the short dimension is 50 and the long dimension is 100, then that's the maximum you can carry in. You would not be able, even if the area of it is larger, it's actually squared off and it's got corners, Rabbi Eliezer would say that's no good, only if it's in the shape of an oval. Another explanation I've seen is that Rabbi Eliezer would say that you take a rectangle, you have like a rectangle with curved ends. So like you have, if you stand in the middle of that rectangle, you measure in each dimension from end to end, you're always going to have 100 because they're curved on the ends. But again, not if it's squared off on the ends. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would allow it even if it's squared off on the ends. Like, again, on the same machlokas as by Tom Shabbos. The Rambam has yet another understanding of it. The Rambam understands Rabbi Eliezer to be saying that the maximum you can have is the diagonal of it can't be more than twice the short end. And the Rambam gives us a calculation. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if, let's say, you have, the maximum you could have is the long end could be just over 93 amos, the short end could be 53 amos and about 3/4, and then if you calculate mathematically, you come out, the diagonal comes out to be about 107.5. which is almost exactly, again, they're all irrational numbers, so you can't do it exactly, but it comes out almost exactly twice the length of the short side. So then that would be allowed. But if, let's say, for example, according to the Rambam's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, if, let's say, you had that the short side, let's say, was 50 amas. So according to him, yeah, if the short side is 50 and the long side is 100, the diagonal comes out to be about 104 or so. He would say, the Rambam would say, Rabbi Eliezer would say, that's no good. 104 is more than twice 50. So therefore, you've got a problem. So according to him, it would have to be a little bit wider and a little bit shorter than the Chotzer or the Mishkan in order to be able to carry in it. Okay. Fine. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi had said that as long as the length is not more than twice the width, then you're still allowed to carry in there. In other words, Rabbi Yossi would allow it if it's 100 by 50, but he would not allow it if it was, let's say, 101 by 49, or whatever the exact calculation would be to reach 5,000. So who is the halacha like? So we have Rabbi Yossi, we have Rabbi Akiva, who says that you don't need any of these things in the area in order to be able to carry in there, or maybe according to some Rishonim that you need something in there, one of these things. So who is the halacha like? Itma, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. So the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that it's fine even if the length is double the width, but not more than that. Rabbi Bibi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Bibi says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who's also in the name of Shmuel, so they're both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Bibi are both saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. V'tavayu l'kula. Now, Rabbi Shmuel is not contradicting himself. Both of these statements are meant l'kula. In other words, that we use Rabbi Akiva's kula, that you don't need, that it doesn't need to be mukaf l'dira, you don't need to have a bird or shiach or what have you in there in order to be able to carry in it. The halacha is also, like Rabbi Yossi, that within that, though, it's allowed if it's square, if it's allowed if it's rectangular, but not if it's a long, skinny rectangle. The maximum difference between the width and the length has to be double, that the length can't be more than double the width. Can't be more than double the width. So in other words, like we said, it can't be 101 by 49.5 or whatever, let's say, or whatever the exact figure would be to reach 5,000. Now, why do we need Shmuel to be saying both of those statements? Utsricha, we need both of those statements. De'i ashmein and halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. If we were only told the halacha was like Rabbi Yossi, have a minute, you would say, okay, so Rabbi Yossi is saying that it can be a rectangle, 100 by 50, but you would still think, ad de'ika shemera oy beistira, maybe you still need there to be a watchman's hut or a house in there, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava had said, in order to be able to carry in there. Therefore, Shmuel also has to tell us the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. You don't need that to be in there. The Iyashmina halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, but if we only said the halacha was like Rabbi Akiva, have amina de orich the kotin loy, then you would think Rabbi Akiva, after all, only mentioned the case when it's square. How would we know that Rabbi Akiva, how would we know it's allowed even if it's a rectangle? Therefore, kamash malan halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. So therefore, he's telling us the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. It doesn't davka have to be square. Rabbi Akiva had mentioned where it's square, 70 2/3 by 70 2/3, but in fact, you would actually be allowed to carry in there as long as the area is not more than 5,000 square amos. Even if it's not a square, even if it's a rectangle or some other shape, like Rabbi Yosi says. Okay. So now let's talk more about some of the dinim of a karpif. Karpif shu yosim beis sasayim shehukaf ladira. Let's start with like this. You have a karpif. Now, by the way, I mean, the word karpif specifically means an enclosure that you use for like storing wood or whatever. But in these halachas, the Gemara sometimes uses the word karpif more generically to mean any area which is not hukaf ladira, which was not enclosed for the purpose of living space. So whether it's used for storing wood or not. For example, a playground, let's say, might be an example of a karpif. I mean, I guess based on what we were saying on Amud Aleph, if it's the kind of playground where people are playing there by day and by night, then maybe it would be mutter even if it's more than a base saw. If people only play there by day, then it might taka be an example of a type of, I don't know. Anyway. Well, I guess if it had lights, then people will play in it by night, yeah. Yeah, okay, anyway. Fine. So let's say you have a karpif more than beis sasayim, shehukaf ladira. Now let's say it was enclosed for the purpose of living space. You are regularly going in and out of there. Maybe you even have in there a watchman's shack or whatever, like Rabbi Hudiman Bava is saying. But now what you did is nizra ruboy. If you went now and planted most of that area with seeds, like whether you planted in there wheat or barley or vegetables or what have you, harehu kagina. Now it becomes like a garden for osir, and now it's osir because it's more than beis. We said in the Mishnah, a garden is one of the examples of an area that's not hukaf ladira, because you don't necessarily regularly go in there. Now that you planted most of this area, it has the din of a garden. Yeah, no. We're saying that the area was to begin with larger than beis sasayim. The area was, let's say, 3 saw in size. Up until now, it was good because it was hukaf ladira. But now you went and planted. Apparently, that would be the idea, yeah. Rashi says, because people don't live among plants like that. So therefore it amounts to you have a garden. And even the area which is not planted is bottle relative to the roiv. On the other hand, if he planted trees in most of it, then it remains like a chotzer and it's mutter. Because trees, people often have trees for shade and they like to sit under the trees and enjoy the shade, so it can still be considered a place of dira. But obviously on Shabbos you can't take vegetables from there, but the point is you don't live in the vegetable garden. You may go in there sometimes, but it's not the kind of place where you actually live. There is, by the way, an interesting machloikas achronim. There's a machloikas between the Divrei Chaim talks about it. I think the Mishnah Halachas talks about it. I don't remember who else. About the question, what if you have flowers growing there? Are flowers counted like trees over here because you have them for pleasure, or they counted like, seeds? You don't go in the flowers for shade, obviously, so that might be a reason to count them like seeds. But you go there for the beauty and for the good smell and whatever. And whatever, anyway, it's a machloikas aharonim about that. Okay. Yeah. So let's analyze that. Nizra ruboy, omer of hunabre derishua, loy amoran, ela yosim beis sasayim. This that we're talking about that you have a problem is only if you planted the seeds in an area more than beis sasayim. So again, in other words, the area was, let's say, 3 saw, and you planted the seeds in 2 saw of that area. Aval, beis sasayim mutter, but if you planted only exactly beis sasayim or less, then it would be mutter. Now let's consider that a second. The area of beis sasayim that you planted itself, we're saying, is not a beis dira. The rest of it we're saying is. The problem is there's no wall between those two things. So in effect, if you were to say that you're not allowed to carry in the planted area, but you're allowed to carry in the non-planted area, now you have a concept we talked about briefly in the first perek. We're going to discuss it in more detail later on in the Masechta, called Nifratz L'makom Ha'asur Loi. If you have an area where you would otherwise have been able to carry, but it's completely open to an area where you're not allowed to carry, we had in the first perek an example of a Mavo Yonachotze, where the wall between them fell down, then you're not allowed to carry in either one. Now, over here, what do you have? You have an original area over here, which was completely empty, and now you planted base the same of it with plants. We're saying that now you're not allowed to carry in that area, but why should you be able to carry in the rest of the area? On the face of it, it's Nifrath L'Mokama Asulai. So therefore, it must be, who would that be? Kaman K'Rav Shimon. It must be like Rav Shimon. It's not, because we learn in a Mishnah later in Ar Masechta. We already learned this in Shabbos. We're going to learn this concept several times in Ar Masechta. Rav Shimon, Echad Gagas, Echad Chatzeres, Echad Karpathos. The roof, all the roofs and all the Chatzeres and all the Karpathos in a city, Rishus Achasein, they're all considered one Rishus, as far as Lekalim Sheshob Sebesechan, as far as Kalim that started out Shabbos in one of these places. Meaning, Rav Shimon is saying, even if you didn't make an Erev Chatzeres, if you have a Keli that was in your Chatzer before Shabbos, you're allowed to carry it to the next Chatzer, even though you didn't make an Erev with that Chatzer, and from there you're allowed to carry it to a Karpif that Chatzer might be open to, and to a roof and so forth. You can even carry it across the whole city that way, from one Chatzer and from one roof and from one Karpif to another. The Loyla Kelim, Sheshavs, Vasechabais, but not for Kelim that started out Shabbos inside the house. For that, you would need an Erev Chatzeres. The point being, in other words, over here, we're saying a similar kind of thing. We're saying that, apparently, even the area that you planted, which now counts as a Karpif, and because it's based for Sayim, normally you wouldn't be able to carry in it, but because you have, but if so now, and you have the rest of the area, which you didn't plant, which is not part of the Karpif, now we're saying you're allowed to carry between those two areas, it sounds like, because they're all one Rishus, one is a Chatzar and one is a Karpif. The problem with that is, Rav Shimon Nami, given the Nizra Ruba, Havi Ahumi Uta Botale, Lagabi Ruba, even according to Rav Shimon, though, once most of it is planted, shouldn't the miut of that enclosed area be considered bottle to it, and therefore it should be considered the Havale Karpif Yosem Beis Sasayim Vaaser? Now you have the total area is more than Beis Sasayim, and it is a Karpif, it's not Hukaf Ladira, so the whole thing should be Aser. So you're saying, in other words, so it's one thing, fine, you planted a small part of the area, then you can say, that's fine, you know, you have a karpif, which is open to a chotzer, and you're allowed to carry between the two of them. But if most of it is now considered a karpif, the kind that you're not allowed to carry in more than four amos, then why should he be allowed to carry in any part of that enclosure? Ella I itmar hochi itmar. No, rather, the statement of Rabbi Huna Bered Rabbi Shua was supposed to be like this. Hami uta shori. So that if the miut of the area, so when we say, when we said that Nizra Ruboy, we said that if most of the area was planted with seeds, with wheat or barley or vegetables or what have you, then it's also to carry in. Hami uta shori, implying that if less than half the area was planted, that remoter, here's where, Amarav, when the Breda Rishua, loy amaran, elder delay habit based sasayim. That works only if the planted area is less than based sasayim. Abel based sasayim also, but if it's based sasayim, then it's also kiman kirabonon. That would be according to the rabbonon who disagree with Rav Shimon, and say that you can't have, you have an area which itself you're not allowed to carry in, another area which is open to it, you also can't carry in, because Nifrat L'Mokam Asula. So therefore, so you wouldn't be able to carry in any of the area, even though less than half of it is planted, because that total area that's planted is based for Sayim. So in other words, the original area was, let's say, the area of 5 saw. You planted 2 saw of it. Now, Rav Huna Bered Rav Shua is telling us, you can't carry in any of that area, even the 3 saw that are not planted. But Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifti Masni Lakola, Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifti's version goes Lakola, Ha Mi Uta Shari, that the implication is if it's less than half was planted, then it is Mutter, and Amr Rabbi Huna Bered Rabbi Shua, Loy Amaran Ela Beis Sasayim, that works as long as the planted area is up to Beis Sasayim, Avo Yosim Beis Sasayim also, but if it's more than that, then it's Osir, because again, then you have the problem that it's Nifrat L'Mokam Asura. Kiman K'Rav Shimon, that would be now according to Rav Shimon. So it does come out Lakula, in other words. The fact is, we would say that once you have an area of Beis Sasayim, that itself is considered significant enough that now it itself is a Karmelis. Rav Shimon, when he says you're allowed to carry between the houses and the roofs and the Chatzeres and the Karpathos and whatnot, he's talking about that there has to be a Karpath that's less than Beis Sasayim. He still agrees that Beis Sasayim you can't carry in anymore. So here, where you have, so in other words, the rules would be like this, according to the Biyamim Medifti, and this is the version that's accepted by Halacha. If most of the area is planted, then for sure it's also. If less than half the area, doesn't matter, doesn't, right, Well, the original enclosure was more than Beis Hasayim. So if you start out with an enclosure more than Beis Hasayim, if you plant most of it, the whole thing becomes a karpif and it's also. If you planted less than half of it, then it depends. If that area you planted is Beis Hasayim, then it's also also. If the area you planted is less than half and less than Beis Hasayim, then you're good and then you can carry in the whole area. Okay. Shpayach, everyone.